Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow. Hark at that.
Indeed.
Open up and let us in, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller. And Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Pete Diddy Donaldson's here.
Pete Diddy Donaldson is here, and the man who created that intro, that experience, was Mr. Peter Stone. He's over in Canada, and he misses Britain, and he misses football. And, we're providing a little bit of respite for him in his life, and
like
that is beautiful.
I'd like him to do a rap song for us every week. And if that's too much of a push, on a monthly basis, to start with.
An official friend of the Football Ramble.
Without doubt.
Is he the official rapper, or would
Don
Brown?
Don
Brown is certainly our official rapper. He'd be very disappointed to not be that.
What rapping has he ever done for us?
Indeed.
Have we started a clan? Have we inadvertently started a rap clan?
If Doc Brown was here listening to that right now, he'd go, bars.
Oh, it's just business.
Yeah.
Right then, boysies. Jose Mourinho gave a prickly press conference last Friday in which he went to storm out after being asked about Eva Canero and all that.
He's gone full... never mind prickly, he's gone full cactus the first 2 weeks of the season. He's gone mad.
He really has.
The third season is fatal.
Yes,
indeed.
As we all know, as Mr. Bella Gutman once said. So he went to go out and leave the press conference, and he kind of changed his mind. I don't know whether someone changed his mind, but his mind was changed.
It was embarrassing.
When he reached the door.
I reckon he forgot his bag.
Yeah,
I reckon it was under the desk.
But he's styling it out.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like, it was embarrassing, you're right, and it was like when you see people on those viral YouTubes. I think President George Bush did it once, where he goes to leave, but it's not actually the door.
Right, okay,
it's
yeah,
the
yeah,
cupboard
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, he just hides in there for a couple of hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Well, when he did change his mind, he turned around and he said quite indignantly, I play against Man City. Who wants to speak about that? Well, we do, Jose. Which Premier League manager would you like to see actually play for his team, Jim?
I would love to see Ronald Koeman step up.
Oh, good.
Step out for Southampton, because I think Koeman is quite a jolly figure now, isn't he?
Bring him on for free kicks.
Well, absolutely.
I'd still have him on penalties.
Oh, definitely. But this is
free
what I mean.
Kicks.
Yeah. But the whole team would obviously set up to just get him the ball outside the box so he could absolutely larrup it. And I would very much enjoy that, because I think people forget. Or maybe even people of a younger generation don't even know what a beast Koeman was.
Oh, yeah.
He was an all-round player, but he was tough.
He was
one
of the best free-kick takers of his generation, possibly the best. Mm. And for a long pass, pinpoint accuracy from bringing the ball out of the back, just play a diagonal out to the wings and all that.
As
a defender, he embodied the idea of total football as much as anyone.
Exactly what I was going to say, so you crack on. Yeah.
Wasn't he involved in the first Dennis Burger Camp goal? Was that Koeman?
No, that was...
Cocky, wasn't it?
Sorry.
No, that was
De Boer.
I think it was Frank De Boer. But Frank De Boer probably learned a lot of that from Koeman, perhaps. Mm. Perhaps not. I've just chucked that out there as an idea, guys.
Thanks for patching me up.
Yeah, no worries, bruv. So Ronald Koeman playing for Southampton.
Yeah.
I think that's good. I think that's very good.
Doesn't Koeman... yeah.
Luke Moore, what have you got for us?
I would like to bend the rules just slightly, because I've noticed that someone started up a Twitter account monitoring how many points people have got.
Yes. Really?
It's called like the Ramble Points League or something like that.
Oh, do you know what, actually?
And you've got it there, have you, because you're winning, I expect.
No, somebody, they did this, and this is quite poor of me. I've got it here somewhere.
Do you want me to carry on filling for you?
Please.
While you're doing it? Yeah.
Speaking of being quite poor of you.
Yeah, I thought to myself when I saw the league table, of which we've had 2 weeks so far, I think Pete and I are on 0 points, Jim's on 3, and Marcus, I think you're on 3.
No, I think I won last week. I think I'm joint heading the table.
But it's Jim and I who have got 0 points.
The Jim and I.
And it made me think that I'm not going to win anyway. I'm like Chelsea. I'm 5 points off Man City already anyway. So I thought I'll bend the rules slightly for this particular answer. And I'd like to go for Steve Bruce. I'll tell you why.
That
would be enjoyable.
I'll tell you why. Because there's two main reasons. One is because no manager that I can think of recently has gone from... such a good player to be like
out of shape.
it would be quite the departure.
He's now a number of shapes.
I did stipulate Premier League, but you're fine to bend these rules.
The second point is that one of my favourite photos of the weekend and the season so far is there's a photo of Steve Bruce giving a post match.
That one of him on holiday diving into the sea.
That's great. But not giving a post match after Hull's game at the weekend.
Yeah.
And he's obviously sort of gone in, because I imagine he had a suit on for the game. Mm. He's gone into the changing room. I've got half change, and then someone's like, I'll come and get a quick few words with you. And he's come back out again, shirt and tie, shorts, untucked, tracksuit bottoms and running trainers.
Ah, oh, good.
He looks like a man who's hiding loads of stolen buns under his clothes.
And also living in a park.
He looks like he's a man who's gone straight from the school to the youth club, yeah, and he's not bothered getting changed.
Very much.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, this is quite poor of me. This is the third show in, but someone did the points total for the last season.
Oh, OK.
OK.
So the winner with 13 points last season was Luke Moore.
30, so that's 1 point per show.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I'm happy with that.
Very happy.
Yeah.
And in joint second, it's Jim, and Pete Diggory Donaldson, both on 10.
Yeah, what are you on?
And I'm fourth on 8.
Oh, okay.
And people say, oh, I'm not fit for purpose. I'm fourth.
No one has ever said Marcus Sparrow is not fit for purpose.
You've
because
actually,
you don't know what the purpose
on,
is.
But, yeah, but the results have not finished.
You've disproved a myth there.
In joint fifth place were the listeners and Paxman with one vote each.
Paxman got the points 1 week, I remember
he
that.
Did. So that was wonderful, whoever did that.
Pete, what you got?
Marvellous stuff. Peter.
I'd probably go for Arsene Wenger because I just want to see them pins out.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Oh, the pins. Great. I remember Frank Skinner once said on telly that he once saw Arsene Wenger eating an apple with a knife. And I just think he'd
just
be that.
Just a knife.
He's cutting up, slicing up an apple and eating it, which is just a really undignified look for Arsene Wenger.
Can I just say, I actually prefer to eat an apple like that as well.
Shut up, get out.
It comes back when I used to have quite sensitive teeth and it was painful to eat an apple. They're fine now, by the way.
I wasn't bothered, Luke.
I'm just saying, I stand side by side with Wenger on that. And actually, if you remember, there were a couple of good vines a season or two ago of Wenger trying to do skills on the training ground and mucking it up. Yeah. Do you remember that? And that was very funny.
Apparently Wenger's a very clumsy man, isn't he? There's something that happened on the training ground once, or in the canteen at the training ground, where he picked up his dinner, dropped all of it on the floor without realising, and then sat down to eat an empty plate with a whole squad watching it. He does stuff like that all the time.
Leader of men.
I think he would be fun to watch on the pitch.
I think he'd
and
do
also
okay.
Think Steve Bruce would still score.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
he'd bundle in something from a corner.
Oh, he'd rule the opposition.
He's a bundling machine now, more so than ever.
bundle with him.
Yeah, indeed, gentlemen. I think Arsene Wenger's a good shout because I think he would be quite an accomplishment. He was a midfielder, so I could see him anchoring a midfield.
It's worth saying, in the interest of balance for poor old Mr. Wenger, is that, you know, he's
actually
quite underrated as a footballer. People just write him off. He won the league title with Strasbourg in France. He won Ligue 1, so he's obviously not completely terrible.
But he's still in good shapes.
Yeah,
and
he's old now.
His diet and all that kind of stuff. I think I'm not going to go for this man, but Mark Hughes, I reckon, could still do a job.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He would be he'd be really fit still. I think. Mm. I think he'd be in good shape.
I did think about Ranieri just for the lulls.
That'd be fun.
That would be joyous.
It would be.
For my money, I think Ranieri would be really slow.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, he'd be running around really, really bad, but he'd be enjoying it.
He'd have a huge smile on his face.
A smiling grimace, one of those kind of like.
his smile is very much like that anyway.
He constantly looks like he's going.
But I'm going to go.
Honourable mention for older. Oh, no, you haven't done your answer yet.
I'm going to go for Dick Advocaat because even he wouldn't look out of place in that Sunderland side.
That's what I mean. Honourable mention for Pochettino would probably be good, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a number of managers like Gary Monk, which obviously.
Yeah.
Gary Monk was playing. For, he was playing.
Yeah,
for
so bloody, but, and Eddie Howe. Well, Eddie Howe was injured. But I think Luke's got the point for Steve Bruce.
Thanks, guys.
He's off the mark.
Even though it wasn't actually really a current answer. But.
No, but I was harsh on you last week.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm pleased that you acknowledged that.
Yeah. I am fair. When I want to be.
Which means you're not fair.
But I want to be all the time, Jim. Just because you're on zero.
Yep.
Just because you're the Sunderland.
The pointless one.
Let's talk about the hardest week of Jose Mourinho's second team in Chelsea.
Yes, Manchester City 3, Chelsea 0.
It is the beginning of Act 3 of Jose Mourinho at Chelsea 2.
My goodness. My giddy aunt, everybody. 1 point in two games. But Mourinho does look like he's actually cracking up a bit. And the press on that... in that press conference, were calling him out a little bit. They weren't letting him get away with it, which often
well, I
he
saw,
has done.
I saw
with all the medic stuff. And
yeah, I forget who it was. I saw a couple of
the sex mad medic.
Yeah,
according
that was,
to
that
the
was
Sun.
Strange, wasn't
oh,
it?
Yeah. Oh, do you not see that?
We're not giving that. No, publicity.
The Sun were being
Dr.
massive.
Eva alone.
They were being massive dicks. You won't be surprised.
Remaining.
I saw a couple of. A couple of journalists say they were unhappy with how Mourinho behaved in the pre-match press conference to the game, and that's obviously before they got beaten heavily. Mm. And they and one of the things that made me think of was that obviously Mourinho enjoys quite a good relationship with the press in the UK.
Yeah,
and I think he takes that for granted a little bit because if you look at the relationship he had with the press in Spain and Italy, it was poor.
Yeah,
but I think he needs to be careful because what he said on Thursday, I think, oh, it might have been Friday.
Friday,
the game
is
was on
when
Sunday.
The press conference is.
He said, oh, if you want to ask questions about that, about the Carnero incident, you can leave. And it's like, and I think the press bristled a bit at that. They're a bit like, well, you can't get away with that.
He's got to be careful.
Yeah. And so that was the start of when I thought, Mourinho, you've got to be careful here because, as you said, Marcus, he's showing the signs of a man who slightly started. I mean, I don't want to compare it to. Well, I do want to compare it to. That's why I'm going to do it.
If this was a sitcom, this would cut to Jose Mourinho with the 2015-16 Champions Champions League cup above his head.
Very much happy for you to bookmark this right now.
Are you about to mention Joe Kinnear?
No, almost.
Bearing in mind your chickens have not come home to roost yet with the other predictions you've made this year.
I've got to the end of November.
He's got a bit of time there.
I don't want you to disappear like DB Cooper. I'm never going to be seen again.
Like Nigel Pearson.
Possibly. That wasn't his decision. But when he withdrew John Terry at half time, it reminded me a little bit of when Ruud Gullit didn't play Alan Shearer in the
his last game.
I'm just saying.
And Bobby Robson, he didn't play him, and that was his last game.
You're scratching around.
The immediate difference is that I would suggest there, not knowing exactly what's going on behind the scenes at Chelsea, funnily enough, was Ruud Gullit. There was clearly he was trying to show Shearer that he was the big man, whereas Mourinho and Terry have always had a great relationship. And there was suggestions, wasn't there, by sections of the press that Mourinho was perhaps doing that to show. I mean, it could have been actually. It's very unlike Mourinho to do this, but City battered them in the first half and should have been more than a goal or.
Was it
two up at half time?
No, one up at half time.
Sorry, one up at half time, that's right. So actually, maybe he did think to himself, we could do with a bit of a change in defence, which is unlike him, but it's within the realm of that it could be a tactical decision. But also, what the press was suggesting was, this is Mourinho giving a message to Abramovich saying, we need a couple more players.
Need a defender in particular, isn't it? I mean, so often we've spoken about Mourinho's ability to shift blame away from the team and onto himself, and I guess the fact that we're only just talking about the game now shows that. But it seems like he's forgotten he doesn't always have to do it, and he's driving himself mad by making the narrative about how he's mad.
He went too far with the whole
I certainly think that he started out with the Eva Canera thing doing that.
Yeah.
And he's almost like he's picked the wrong subject. Or he's
That's
picked
right.
the wrong
yeah,
he also started talking a bit about. He mentioned that he thought Diego Costa was fit and he wasn't fit for the game before this one.
Yeah,
and he started to mind a bit about that. No, exactly. One thing I was going to say, though, is that one of the lessons we can take from that game as well, though, is that Jeff Reeves has not got a clue what he's doing. Like he went down there to the touchline, obviously touchline
that's
reporter.
Very much more of a refresher course, isn't
it? Yeah. Supposed to get a reminder. Yeah. His sole job is to give the viewers information about what's happening, and the only thing he could come up with was, I think apparently John Terry's got a slight twinge, and it's like,
which is not true,
he hasn't.
Why did you just make that up?
Why did you just do that?
It's mad, isn't it, either
he made it up or one of the medical staff told him it, in which case he should be experienced enough as a touchline reporter of some years to know that that's absolute nonsense.
Well, but if it is a trusted source, I mean, I'm loathe to kind of.
Jeff Shree doesn't got any trusted sources.
Come on, it's his fault. I think it was Graham Souness who reckoned it was Mourinho's way of telling Abramovich that he needs more players.
I'm just tired of hearing about John Fearn, the other person that's banned from the bench that you don't hear about at all.
Who works with Eva Canera. This might be a ridiculous suggestion, but if John Fearn was an attractive woman, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
the son might be interested.
Listen, I'll start a movement right now. I personally find John Fearn very attractive.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. John Fearn, hot or not? He's hot.
I vote hot. Ooh.
I vote hot.
Yeah, so
can we have it? Right, okay.
John Hot. John Fearn. John Furness.
Yeah.
Let's objectify John Fearn.
John Fearn.
I vote a lot.
Yeah. I'll give him a blow, John.
Well, let's talk about the bloody game, because Manchester City were brilliant.
Oh, I didn't watch the game.
Before I get into the game, I don't like this new ball.
No,
I
do not.
I don't like it at all.
It's awful. Why? What's it? Well, Jim,
bring back the total 90.
Hang on, what's... Jim?
It just offends my eyes.
Have you seen
the only good thing about it is it looks white when it's spinning.
If you think it's okay, now, wait until I have to bring the cold weather ball out.
Yeah.
Because it looks like a Satsuma in a Satsuma bag.
I see.
Or a Satsuma in a cage or something.
Like epileptic fits.
I haven't really noticed.
If I was going to be worried as a Chelsea fan, I'd be worried about the third goal.
Oh, it was a beauty. Mm.
They were all over the place.
Well, what about the first goal, though? Aguero,
well, the first
so
goal
good.
Was brilliant. The first goal is one of those goals where, you know, you can still be having a good day at the office and you concede a goal like that because you're playing one of the world's best strikers. Mm. That, I think, you know, is understandable.
The way he held them all off
right.
was sensational.
But, the second and third goals, both of them were easily preventable. Fabregas just sort of asleep at the corner for the second goal.
A towering header for Kompany. I mean, I know as a manager you will always scrutinise everything, but it's, you know, Vincent Kompany looks like he really, really fancies it.
I don't particularly like recently Fabregas in that sort of deeper role. I think his concentration is a problem. And
last season he did all right.
Yeah, but I mean recently
he tailed off though.
Okay.
Yeah, he's. I don't think this season he's been that good. I've only seen him two games.
But Chelsea looked so sluggish compared to Manchester City, who. Okay, they've obviously brought Sterling in, which adds an awful lot of pace. But they looked so sharp, so quick.
Well,
Sterling looked as though he fitted in very nicely.
We've got to remember from the Community Shield that they're a week behind everyone else.
That's true.
For an unspecified
They look a good few weeks behind Manchester.
I don't want to be overly harsh on Fabregas. Of course, they won the title last season. He's a great midfield player, of course. But what I've seen of him this season, I think it's funny because Chelsea seem worse than I thought they'd be, and City seem a lot better than I thought they'd be.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that the thing with Aguero is when he's fit. I mean, God, his feet are just ridiculous. Yeah. I don't even think that like Messi's feet are quicker than his. I mean, Messi's a better player, but I don't think his feet are quicker. I mean, he's like Fred Astaire, Aguero.
He's a little bull, isn't he?
The
way he held the defenders off was glorious.
Must be a nightmare to play against. Yeah, absolutely.
But he could have had a goal. Perhaps should have in the first 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, I was ambivalent about that because a lot of people said, "Oh, Chelsea, Man City had a lot of chances. Chelsea were lucky not to be 3 or 4 down." I sort of understand that sort of school of thought, but. Yeah, that is what the goalkeeper's for. You know, the goalkeeper's.
Vinovic actually had a good game.
He did.
But the goalkeeper conceded three.
The goalkeeper's part of the team and doesn't get credit when he keeps a goal out. It's a strange thing.
Yeah, people sort of seem to take exception when a keeper makes loads of saves. I mean, that's essentially what he's there
for. Give credit to goalkeepers.
Yeah, more. Give it more.
A little bit more.
But as Luke started to say, that third goal is suspect from Chelsea. Credit to Fernandinho. He had to sort of rifle it through a few players there. But the fact that he managed to do that is surely a problem.
If a struggling, I mean, I didn't see Match of the Day 2, so I didn't see a lot of analysis on it. But if
you want to see how much they're doing,
no, sure. if Sunderland do that, I mean they get absolutely crucified.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you're 2-0 down against a title rival. If you're not going to win the game and you have to write it off as a 3 points dropped, you still got to show some sort of pride. You've got to battle. You've got to fight to show that you're in that title race still. I know it's early on, but you know what I mean. It's like a psychological thing, isn't it?
I mean, Mourinho can't have lost many games 3-0 as a manager anywhere. At the moment, Chelsea.
Not. What about Yaya Toure? People saying perhaps he was finished an hour, or he kept him on. Although they didn't keep him on, he decided to stay. He scored 2 goals against West Brom, and he looks far more.
He's not finished. He's just he's fantastic. But it's the motivation thing.
Yeah,
it was never
about him being finished for me. It's just concentration. It's just fancying it. It's just not just going off on one.
Was the last time Mourinho was beaten that heavily? Would it have been? He certainly was beaten heavily by Guardiola's Barcelona. Wasn't
5-0.
He? 5. Yeah, yeah. I can't think apart from that.
Do you think maybe the City thing is that it's easier to chase a lead than it is to, chase a title than it is to retain one?
Ferguson says that a lot in his first autobiography.
I mean, that looks evident 2 games into the season.
It's hard. He said it's so hard to get the players back at the level because they've won the title, and there's almost like a subconscious inertia.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice to see a big cheer for when the Chelsea physios ran onto the pitch.
Yeah.
Well done.
I was thinking you're getting sacked in the morning as well. Which is funny.
Well done to everybody who's involved in that. Excellent work. But marvellous stuff from Manchester City and worrying times for Chelsea indeed. What an away win for Norwich City.
Yeah. Emphatic.
And awful again from Sunderland. Blimey, O'Reilly.
They enjoyed the great escape so much last season. They are preparing, aren't they? They're laying the groundwork now.
And the previous... Was it the previous season under Canio?
Previous decade or so, it seems.
Yeah. They are in so much trouble this early.
Did you guys see that Dick Advocaat's wrote an email out to season ticket holders?
Did he?
I can read it to you if you want.
Please.
It was a very frustrating afternoon. I did not expect that to happen, especially after the last game. Everybody expected more. I know I did, and I know the fans did. It was really disappointing. Tomorrow we will sit down together and speak to find out what the problem is. We started brightly, and it's difficult to put my finger on what the problem is, but we will work together to find a solution. Duncan Watmore, I think he means, came on and he did very well during his time on the pitch.
What a dunk.
You cannot say the players aren't fighting. It maybe looks that way, but we need to work it out together. Thanks for your support, Dick Advocaat.
Wonderful.
What he's basically saying is, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
And then a link to the Beatles. We can work it out.
Or a thing at the bottom with a reply sort of box saying, do you have any idea what happened?
It almost sounds like he's written it to Dear Deirdre.
Yeah. Help me out. Just give me anything.
Give me one of your phone lines.
Yeah. More on Sunderland, though, after this.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my tube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
And so back to Sunderland, gentlemen. Dick Advocaat, he might rue his decision not to retire, Jim.
Well, again, it's early days, isn't it? So we don't know. But
at the moment,
I think there's a lot of ruing going on.
This is ridiculous, though, isn't it? Two games in, and they're in serious trouble. Because
but it is funny, though, isn't it?
Well, it's hysterical. I mean, people are doing it.
Because the great thing about it, it's not great for Sunderland fans, of course, but I support Portsmouth, so I feel your pain. It's great because what essentially has happened through the narrative around Dick Advocaat is like, he almost fueled this. Oh, shall I continue? Shall I retire?
Yeah.
And now it just seems like, oh, I've picked the wrong option. I picked the wrong one. Look, a game show. Yeah.
Like, they spent all that money on flowers for his wife. There's going to be people breaking into his garden, just digging them up.
Getting back. As part of my season ticket, I want them.
Yeah.
I'd bury my season ticket and put the flowers on top of it.
They're my flowers. I was just lending them to you.
Peter's a neutral, what do you think?
I think there's a lot of ruining going on. More ruining than Rui Costa.
A lot of ruining.
I think there's a man over there who's got his own problems.
One more point than Sunderland. Yay.
All right, everybody.
Crisis club Sunderland.
All right.
Yeah. Is it fair to say that the North East football is flourishing?
Well, Middlesbrough.
Yeah, they're
yeah, we
favorite.
Saw them, Marcus. We saw them in the what do you call that thing that we went to see
the
at Wembley? The playoff final.
The playoff final. That was last season.
That was last season, and they were awful.
But I think
it's not exactly a good defence because they're playing well at the start of the season. They still
want to try and defend it.
And I think you have forgotten that they've signed the difference.
Yes.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, they are.
Sorry, that's right.
If any man can fire them to the Premier League,
he's got
probably Lionel Messi.
For new listeners, Luke, who is the difference?
David, the difference Nugent.
Correct.
A.k.a. Nugenio.
Right.
A.k.a. the greatest unconfident striker in world football. I genuinely think, if David Nugent went to see that Paul McKenna hypnotist, just like four or
that
five
Paul McKenna hypnotist.
Four or five sessions.
Yeah.
He would be probably England's frontline striker.
You genuinely think?
He has got everything in his locker apart from confidence. There's nothing to do with ability.
So Paul McKenna is the gateway to David Nugent's revitalised England career, because of course he started well.
Look him up. I'm possibly
would you take a Uri Geller?
I'm possibly putting it in fairly exaggerated terms to illustrate a point. But you understand.
I'm sure he's an underminer point.
Yeah,
he's a minor point, really, isn't it?
Yeah. That's an underminer point.
Let's talk about Norwich.
Okay.
Norwich.
Yeah, I thought they were good.
They punished them.
Mm. They did.
You know, because
Van Aanholt was playing and he doesn't seem to want to track anyone.
Yeah.
I was going, you know what, I'll just attack. It's like, not from that far back.
It's like he treats matches as like fitness sessions.
Show runs.
Arrigo Sacchi famously said, like, a manager is like a director and I give my players roles like actors and it's up to them to interpret their roles. Mm. Van Aanholt's gone too far with that. Yeah. He's interpreted the idea of a fullback way too much.
I'm like a gas. I'll just inhabit every space that I'm given. Yeah. Yeah. I'll just go everywhere.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like avoiding the ball is part of the game.
But could they not brought that Matthews lad on or a bit of John O'Shea or something?
They just
seem completely rudderless.
Well, but they did at the end of the season, didn't they? I mean, I guess the positive for them is that, you know, Advocaat did a brilliant job in getting them motivated towards the end of the season. So you just got to do it as quickly as possible now and just hope they can stop being so ridiculous.
It was a great win for Norwich, bouncing back.
It was, and we always have to tread
bouncing back.
We always have to tread this fine line of praising a team who win and criticising a team who
lost.
In equal measure. Because
how's that fun?
Norwich, it's not, which is why I'll move through it quickly. Norwich have been promoted, they got a good win, it was away from home, and well done them. I mean, getting wins away from home as a promoted side to the Premier League is tough. But when you actually watch the highlights of that game, which I did, Sunderland weren't putting any pressure on the ball at all.
It was
almost like, what is the mentality of this group of players?
They've just come frightened.
Yeah, they do. They did. And that's a real bad problem because...
If you
think about match fitness and stuff like that, you think maybe, okay, so 60 minutes there, they should be pressing, they should be working hard, and then maybe they tire in the last half an hour because the match fitness thing. But that should be applied to everyone who's still getting the match fitness up. But they weren't even motivated to try, and it's really bad news for them at this stage of the season, because what's going to happen is it'll go one way or the other. They'll sort themselves out, which I can't see happening. Secondly, Dick Abacar's not going to last the season, and then they're basically going to get Big Salmon in January, and they'll probably just about stay up. That's what will probably
happen. Also, I mean, if you get that kind
Big Niall Quinn.
If you've got that mentality, even if you do pick up a win, the moment maybe you concede a goal in the next game or it's a bit tougher than you think, the heads drop again.
Definitely.
You know, it's so easy to think that, you know, when you're playing well, it's some sort of fluke.
Yeah.
You know, it's an odd thing. And I think we should praise Nathan Redmond as well. He's had a great start to the
England
season.
England under 21 international.
He's good in the first game as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. But he's got the goal, didn't he?
He scored in both games, has he not?
He's going to be a good player, I think most people would suggest. And he could be crucial for them this season.
Well, if you remember, I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying the season before last, he started the season well, and then he just massively tailed off.
It's quite normal for a young player, though.
He scored the second one in the aforementioned playoff final, Peter, which he took very well. You were seriously impressed with that.
I'm seriously angry.
Indeed you were. I quite like Whittaker, the Norwich fullback. Used to play for old Rangers.
Who's that, sorry?
Whittaker.
Yeah.
He loves to get forward. Hmm. Loves a jinky run, and he got on the score sheet there.
It's funny, isn't it? Because he loves to love to get forward, and he'd like to see that. But
Can't see that going wrong.
No, there's a certain amount of traditionalist in me who just thinks with a fullback. Because when we were a lot younger, I don't know if you guys are the same, when I grew up playing football, it's fullbacks were almost a bit sort of like, oh, we don't know where else to put you, so just stay there and do your job.
Yeah.
Fullbacks never really used to go massively beyond the halfway line.
They do that behind me, to be fair. But now,
but now it's a really important position. And that part of the traditionalist in me thinks, just do your basics right with that Whittaker guy.
Yeah.
But Van Aanholt, he's a completely new breed. He does what he wants. I'd love to see his heat map for that game.
Well, Jack Charlton famously said, was it around about the 94 World Cup, the fullback is the most important position on the pitch because they've got the space in front of them.
Ahead of his time, Big Jack.
Big Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, how little we knew thee. Yeah.
Van Aanholt defending.
How too well we knew, sorry?
Van Aanholt defending.
Ooh, he's getting a lot of stick on this show.
He's shite. That's why.
It's fair. I think that's a perfect point to move
on. I think
we're
going to have to move on. There are other games to talk about. And a wonderful away win from Everton. Another team that scored three goals.
Are they the most unpredictable team in the Premier League?
I'd say so.
It's so difficult to know what they're going to do from week to week.
McArthur was shooting at women in the warm-up.
I know.
Dearie me.
But he did go into the crowd and hug her, though.
He did.
Lovely lad.
On this shot, he did, I saw that.
Yeah, but then with his two goals, he hurt her, didn't he? Emotionally, rather than physically.
Is that a nice thing? Someone, you know, smacks an object at you and then hugs you afterwards?
Yeah,
it's
a football.
What do you want him to do, Jim?
Just
go up yours.
Kick a
try and do it again.
I'll do it after the game.
If you're going to come to football games, that's what can happen.
That wasn't during the game. It was in the warm-up.
I know. Remove yourself from the theatre of conflict. Surely you want to instill a sense of fear into the opposition's fans.
Not like that. No, you don't want to suggest, like, all you lot are sitting way up in the stands, none of you are safe. No, you want to say that's an anomaly, because it's going to be
Romelu
your goal.
Lukaku, and I'm coming for all of you.
No, you want to hit the back of the net, Jim, not the fans in the stands.
Well, they need to be too frightened to cheer the defenders, and then it's going to be easy for
them. Right, you're talking bollocks, and we're going to move on. Lukaku, though, two great goals from the big man. Him and Barkley, Luke.
They play well, and in many ways that you got two very unpredictable players there in terms of inconsistency. But Barkley's, of course, young. And, well, actually, to be fair, Lukaku's young as well, so maybe we forgive him of that. Mm. But what I was going to say was, did you see the Roberto Martinez quote?
No.
Well, you know, on this show, we're no stranger to taking advantage of a mistranslation.
Or
someone speaking in their second language.
But if, you know.
He said in the post-match interview, maybe Romelu should hit a woman before every match.
He did say that.
Have a quiet word with him.
What I kind of like about that is, I let him off.
Yeah.
But, exactly. Like Costa Curta and Baresi. One misses it, the other one's going to mop up.
We've got a system on this show. Nothing falls through the cracks.
Yeah. And yes, I did just liken us to the Milan defence of the glory years. Lukaku and Barkley, though, they could. I mean, it's early, but they look fantastic. And Barkley, we all know his talent. We all know how good he is and can be. My goodness, he gives the ball away a lot. But this season, if he can tighten up those areas, I mean, he could be starting games for England, Peter.
He only scored two goals. Sorry to dive in there. He only scored two goals in the entirety of last season. He's already got that.
That's right. And Lukaku looked absolutely fantastic as
well. Didn't Everton fly a plane over the stadium, that was an unfortunate time to do that.
That's right. That's the tradition that refuses to die.
Indeed. Elsewhere in the Premier League, Leicester City, great away win for Ranieri.
League leaders Leicester City.
There we are. You can't.
They've started so well. I mean, they're at home to Spurs next week. That's 3 points.
It was nice to see.
What a start for him.
It really is. It was nice to see Ian Wright back on Match of the Day, and it was nice to see him say, because obviously Vardy set up Ogasaki, the Japanese international.
Yes.
And Wright, you go. Yeah, see, he does like Japanese people.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh dear. There you go.
I'm pretty sure Ian Wright during Match of the Day also said. I think he was he referring to Dick Havercard? He went, "All right, Dick."
Yeah, that's
which
right.
I enjoyed. So he's
that's
redeemed himself. Then.
Was it a red card?
For Adrian, I didn't think. I can understand why it was given because obviously it was a horrific challenge.
Yeah,
chest high studs first.
But on Vardy,
which is
it's
why
fine.
I think.
Do you want me to help you out with that?
What?
Yes,
it was.
He was clearly going for the ball. But
I just think keepers just need a little bit more. They should get a bit more leeway.
Yeah, because
they're clearly not very good at football.
Special karate rules.
Yeah, that's right. Mahrez took his goal brilliantly. He's having a great start. What do we think of West Ham fans protesting against the club signing Joey Barton and the club deciding against it?
Yeah, it's a silly one.
A bit rich.
Part of me thinks that's great that the club are listening to the fans, but then another part of me thinks, but actually, he's a good player. If they think he can improve the side, should they be listening
to
the fans?
I know QPR went down, but he was probably QPR's best player.
But
last
we often
season.
Moan that the powers that be at football clubs don't listen to the fans, so it would suggest that they have there.
I don't want to start a sort of pitch war with West Ham fans, like I sometimes accidentally do with Liverpool fans.
Yeah.
But what is the moral compass here when you're holding up Paulo Di Canio, who is a confirmed fascist, as some sort of folk hero, but you refuse to let Joey Barton sign for your side because he once punched a kid outside McDonald's like 10 years
ago. And he set fire to a man's eye with a cigar.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Set fire. I suppose he did, didn't he?
Fire was involved.
My point is that Joey Barton has done those things.
But if
it was an unlit cigar, it wouldn't be much of a story.
Yeah, indeed.
Unless you did it really hard.
It's weird.
I'll tell you something, if I got an unlit cigar and jammed it in your eye as hard as I could, that would still be painful.
Well, the kind of cigars I like, mate, are too thick for my eye hole.
I feel we might be drifting from the point.
We may well. Jim, what do you think about
that's
this Barton business?
Well, I think it's a strange thing. It's interesting you said, you know, Barton has shown remorse, and that's to be applauded, isn't it? He can't go back in time and undo the things he's done, and he shouldn't have to slink off and stop being a professional footballer and just, you know, make a martyr of himself. So it's a strange one. Barton certainly would improve their squad, I think it was silly of the fans, of the board to listen.
And he's played with a couple of their players before as well.
Yeah, he did take it well on Twitter, though.
Yeah, I mean,
so well done him.
But he's an easy knee-jerk target, isn't he? And I think I think
Barton's probably an all right bloke these days. I mean, he's matured a lot as he's got older. He's had indiscretions fairly recently, of course, but they've not been as serious as the ones in the past.
Yeah.
I think if you're a West Ham fan, if I was a West Ham fan, I'd probably be thinking, is he going to improve my team? Because the indiscretions he's been guilty of haven't really been serious recently. So you got.
And like we said last week, you know, he set up more goals, or he set up more chances than a lot of players in the Premier League. So
very true, very true. Good point away to Spurs for Stoke City. They were 2-0 down. And Jim's favourite, Stephen Ireland, changed the game when he came on.
Yeah, well, he'll do that.
He was excellent. He was excellent.
Really was. It's good to see him because we know the player he can be from years gone by. And it's not that long ago, and he's not too advanced in years to have another decent season. It was just lovely to see him pulling the strings.
We talked a bit about Spurs before we came on, didn't we? We were just talking about them and their performance and stuff. One thing we didn't mention, though, is the fact of Spurs not doing their business in the transfer window very early. Mm. And it's almost like they write off August points. And then the reason that happened against Stoke is because when they withdrew Harry Kane, what have you got there?
Yeah.
What have you got there to relieve pressure from you to hold it? Yeah, there's nothing.
Jermaine Defoe can come up. Oh, he's not. Where is he? they threw a 2-0 lead away at home for the first time in 4 years, which is a surprising stat.
Yeah.
Very surprising.
Because to me, that's
not
like
anything
to
boast of.
It seems like a typically Spurs thing to do, though.
Yeah.
But of course, clearly it isn't.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Clubs have narratives around them that just will not go away. But I don't know if we've. I don't think we made this point last week, but this is just a really interesting one. And as Luke said earlier, this is a little bit of an anomaly, I suppose. But Stoke now have the most Champions League winners in a Premier League squad.
On a technicality.
It's a stretch.
Yeah, but it's also a fact.
Arnautovic didn't play a single minute of Champions League football.
Afellay, is he?
Afellay, yeah.
Shaqiri, who's, I mean,
yeah, but it's, you know, Bojan as well, but it still counts. A lot of top knots going on in that game. That's the real issue. Yeah.
A lot of baristas out of work at the moment.
I guess Spurs, you know, with their fancy damn reputation and Stokes trying to reinvent themselves as the same. I guess that is a sort of hipster derby in a way, isn't it? The top knots are represented.
Oh, this is a changing of the guard. Has the baton been passed on?
I think so.
Did you see the video of Soldado trying to put that ball into the crowd?
Yeah,
he kept muffing it up.
Well, then he keeps scoring.
Oh my God! This is what you need to do. Yeah, you need a couple of people in bright anoraks to aim for in the crowd, and he'll be fine. Jack Butland, excellent goal for Stoke. Mm. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, Spurs could have been ahead there by three or four.
Excellent
maybe.
Goal or excellent in goal?
Excellent in goal.
I thought you said excellent goal, so I missed that.
Yeah, well, it was in the warm up. Yeah. Butland's a brilliant keeper. He's only 22. And he's been loaned out a number of times, I think six times in his career at about three or four different clubs. So it'd be great for him if he can nail down a position now at a Premier League club.
He's been loaned out a lot, though, because he's been rated, hasn't he? But just very, very, very young. And it's almost like a sort of the entire country's football system is trying to make him a project.
Very much so. Liverpool, they got another 1-0 win against Bournemouth at home. Benteke with a controversial one against Bournemouth. And Bournemouth had one ruled out themselves.
Yeah.
Luke, you didn't think that should have been ruled out, did you?
I think it's easy for a referee to make that decision to penalise an attacking player for that, but you'll never see a penalty given for that, a defensive player. Mm. And so, for me, in light of those facts, and that is a fact. I mean, if a defender does that, you're not going to get a penalty.
2002 World Cup, Spain versus Ireland, Fernando Hierro was pulled up against the...
Yeah, so you have to go back 13 years. For no further questions, Your Honour. So, in light of that, I thought it was harsh to disallow it.
Yeah.
And of course, as everyone and their dog has said, the Liverpool goal should have been disallowed. But I mean, you know, that's what you get decisions at Anfield. I mean, everyone knows that. Same way you get decisions at Old Trafford.
Well,
Bournemouth were
unlucky not to get a point, weren't they? I mean, Richie hit the post.
I mean, Benteke hit the
late on. I mean, he still did it.
I was impressed that Eddie Howe largely stuck to his principles. He didn't try and sort of close shop and try and nick a point. He went for it. They could have, on another day, they could have. It's a stretch, possibly. On another day, they could have won the game.
But you worry about Bournemouth doing that and wonder how long they will stick to that, because even though they were the best team in the Championship last year, Norwich and Watford just have more experience of top-flight football of them. So they're effectively the underdog in every game they play. And after a while, if you keep losing, that is going to start to really, really wear on them.
Can you imagine sort of leading the pack for such a long time? Like, it happens every year. They go up and then it's like, oh, God, we're getting hammered every week. How do we even deal with that? Psychologically, how do you do that?
I can remember when Portsmouth were promoted, the season before, they were by far the best team. They flew the league and it was amazing. And then as soon as we went to the Premier League, it was like, God, this is a grind. It's even worse for the players.
And it's strange, the supporters might not know how to adapt to it, first and foremost.
Someone made a good point on Twitter, the journalist, I forget who it was, said that after two games, the worrying thing is that Bournemouth look more like Burnley than Swansea.
Yes.
And so they've got a long time to go.
I was impressed with Bournemouth at Anfield, to be honest with you. And I think their midfield, I think Sermon and O'Kane looked pretty good. And it was it Sermon or maybe it was it Cook bringing the ball out of defence, playing some lovely diagonals to Richie, I think, at the back. Daniels looked a good left back. I thought he got forward quite well and did pretty well down there. It's it's up front, I just think. I know Wilson scored a lot of goals last year for them, but I just wonder, I think that may be the area. If they could maybe strengthen there before the end of the window, I don't know.
Sorry, Pete, go on.
Sorry, I just think Liverpool's movement flattered Bournemouth a little bit. I think that there were times that Bournemouth looked really good, but it wasn't because they were incredibly good at doing those long diagonals. It's just the fact that Liverpool weren't covering their back.
It's probably a nice time to play Liverpool at Anfield. Mm. I was just going to say, briefly, you always get a striker, well, not always, but you regularly get a striker who comes up and scores goals. I mean, we've seen Austin do it, we've seen Danny Ings do it, and all that sort of stuff. I don't think that Wilson looks like he's going to do it, personally. But yeah, I could be wrong.
I would agree with that. And before we leave England, quickly to League Two, Luke, because Portsmouth, they've registered 2 wins out of 2.
I mean, hopefully listeners will forgive me actually mentioning this, because Portsmouth never normally win any games.
That's right. Wickham are on top of goal difference, but we've got to mention this while the going's good, because we might not never get a chance.
They've also beaten Derby in the Capital One Cup, which is a fantastic result. And you know, I know Derby rested players, but so did Portsmouth. And Derby still had Andreas Wyman and Darren Bent up front. Against a League Two team, and we still beat them. Yes, it's a pretty good result. We started off well.
The form team of the country.
The problem is that Portsmouth will struggle, because every other team is really up for beating them in League Two. Because they are. I mean, look, regardless of, you know, it's like winning a Tour de Dwarf competition. But Portsmouth are the biggest team in League Two. Mm. So I mean, that presents its own challenges. Shall we say?
They've got the biggest ground.
They probably would do. More British football chat after this.
Hi, I'm Ryan Giggs, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Now then, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the part of the show where we go north of the border.
Celtic beat Inverness, Caledonian Thistle.
Because some say that Celtic and Rangers are grand, but the boys in maroon are the best in the land. Magic, you know, 4 games in a row. Top of the league. Still top. Yeah. Still top. We've had two games.
They speak no other language.
Up yours, everybody. Yeah. We've had 2 games in the Scottish Premiership since then. They've won them both.
I started to look up the relative fan base size of Hibs. Yep. To see whether this was genuinely affecting our listenership. The good news is, it probably isn't, so carry on.
I'll tell you what, boys, it's time to believe. I think there might be a petition up there beginning now. For Hearts maybe to move south, because it's getting a bit silly.
Come on. Straight into League Two.
No, but you are right. Celtic did beat Inverness Cali to hang on in there in the title race.
It's title race, you fucking idiot.
That was our race.
This is my story.
The glee on his face is unreal right now. Absolutely unreal.
Oh, it's very real, Jim. Have you been spiked? Oi, if Arsenal ever get to the top of the league, Jim, you'll know what it feels like. Take it from me.
Look, can you support Man United?
It's 4 out of 4.
Yeah.
4 out of 4.
You can't argue with that, Jim.
You cannot. You literally can't. It's happening. Aberdeen, they beat Motherwell for their third win in 3 games.
You've had your fun. Spanish Super Cup.
No. it's absolutely magnificent scenes up there.
You've already said that about 1,000 times. Just in various different old man-y wordings.
Let me have it.
It's now time to introduce the idea of a spin-off podcast.
Yeah. Just Marcus in a room on his own for 45 minutes. Yeah.
Hearts of Marcus Lothian.
There you go. Ah, the magnificence. Yeah, well done, everybody.
Still going. Still going. No, unbelievable.
No, stop right there. Hearts of Marcus. Marcusness.
Hearts of Marcusness.
I think you need an S at the end.
Oi, we need to move on.
If you get arrested back at any point, now is the time.
Any more for any more?
No. He's just enjoying the fact we're still in the Scottish football section.
It's already too long, this
lovely
section.
Old job.
They don't even care in Scotland.
We gave Portsmouth a mention.
I didn't know it would be in return for this. I'll never agree to it.
I'm only reporting the news. This is what's happening. Right. Now then, Spanish Super Cup time. Barcelona, they drew 1-1 with Athletic Bilbao. They lost 5-1 on aggregate.
Nine goals in three games they've conceded.
I picked the wrong leg to watch.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, deary me. And the moment of the match was Gerard Piqué. He's a very sweary man.
I think it's Gerard Piqué.
Not Gerald.
No.
sorry.
Gerard Piqué just sells things outside the ground.
Gerard Piqué, he was sent off. He was in the Super Cup final against Sevilla. He was seen swearing in English at somebody.
That's perfectly sensible.
Yeah, perfectly sensible. What, swearing on the football field?
Maybe you picked up some swearing Mancunian words.
And if any youngsters are listening, don't do that.
I wouldn't endorse
pitch.
Swearing at any sort of officials at all, but if you are going to swear, it sort of makes sense to do it in a language they don't understand.
Mm. You'll make up your own swear words.
Listen, it's a win-win. They won't get offended, you won't get sent off.
I'm pretty sure he was saying it to somebody who would understand. Maybe it was Jeff Shreves at the side of the pitch.
Yeah. In which case, carry on.
Yeah, imagine we're awful.
It's involuntary, it just comes out.
Yeah. Win-win is actually a really bad language in Chinese. It's not.
Okay.
Good.
There we are.
Good.
Feel free to edit that out.
You don't speak Chinese.
Why?
You don't speak Chinese.
How do you know?
No such language.
You speak a bit of Japanese and you've had one Russian lesson.
I've had two, actually.
Two, okay, sorry.
And I was bloody dreadful at it.
Yeah, PK, so he could be given a lengthy ban for this. Because said literal translation.
I don't really want to say it.
Okay, don't say it then.
You all know what it was.
Yeah, win-win.
I do nasty things to your mother.
Yeah.
Is what it was. No, but
weird, nasty, horrible.
Yeah, after a big dinner.
Yeah. This is worth mentioning this. We always talk, and in many respects, rightly so, about Sergio Ramos's disciplinary record.
Because it's brilliant.
But that's Gerard Piqué's ninth red card. Ninth.
Ooh. Closing him down.
It's ninth.
Very
it's
good.
Lot.
Very good. So, yeah, Barcelona are going to be fun this season if they're leaking goals like that.
Yeah.
Mm. What about Ligue 1, where Monaco drew 0-0 with Lille? Harvey Renard's boys got their first point of the season.
Mm.
They lost to PSG in the opening week, so they've got two of their toughest matches out the way.
Yeah.
So the league title push begins now.
Yeah. I think you need to stop talking about league titles in August.
Really?
Yeah. You start to celebrate like Jim White, if you don't mind me saying.
When you've got that winning mentality.
A bit like Jim Diamond White.
What about Bielsa? You obviously quit Marseille last week.
Well, why don't you tell us, Marcus?
Well, I shall. This is Montpellier owner Louis Nicolin. He's piping up already.
He's not on here enough.
That's right.
No, he's kind of underrated in our canon of ridiculous football men.
When Montpellier did really well, we talked about him almost every week, and now he's sort of disappeared off the radar a little bit.
Well, he's back.
He's back, yeah, he's back.
So he's talking about Bielsa, which we...
Nobody... Why is he getting involved?
Oh, let him. Because some very intelligent member of the press has thought, we need to ask Louis, his thoughts.
Yeah. I can't be bothered to do any work today. I'll get column inches from Louis Nicolin.
I never liked him. Why don't I? Because he's a dickhead, that's all. He never looks at you in the eye. That is wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Does the French have a word for dickhead?
Well... I would imagine.
Strange translation.
It's not that.
We'll look forward to seeing what it is.
Yes.
I don't know.
Quickly to Sweden. Did you hear about this? Swedish referee Mohamed Al Hakim. He set up a Facebook page last month to explain his refereeing decisions. A very bold move.
Can I be the first to say that will end well?
Well, it's already ended, but he's decided to end it.
Because he's basically taken off his Facebook wall. you can't post on anymore.
I'd make a huge mistake.
Well, to be fair, I think it was probably quite a good idea. And it was, as he
put it... contravened every law in the game.
Well, I don't think it does, does it?
It must be banned from doing it.
I'm not so sure. Everyone else scrutinises refereeing decisions.
He's effectively punditising himself, isn't he, if I may make up a word.
I am, in theory, in favour of referees... The dialogue between referees and other people in football... sort of being more transparent.
Mm.
But I think it has to come from an official sort. I mean, you can't just go off piece like this. You can't do that.
Well, the way that the rules have tightened up this season, certainly in the Premier League, I think it's only the Premier League, you can only approach a referee with two people. Any more than that, you can get sent off.
Or the club can get fined
or whatever.
He said it was to increase accessibility in the football family.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Increase his profile, maybe?
But I think all of it... Yeah, well, exactly right. But that's its own problem. I mean, but... I think all around this table we would agree that, you know, the dialogue and the transparency of referees is an important thing. But I'm arguing that you can't be just doing this on his own. For example, what happens if he says, oh, I explained this decision, but I did this and did this, and that's actually wrong, which could happen. It's not been officially checked by a referee's official or something like that to check that he's saying the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be struck off. He could lose his job.
True. Well, the page has been taken down now because they received so much international attention. He said it was too much work. And Al Hakim said, I have two jobs, a family, and a refereeing career to worry about.
But you set this up.
Yeah. Worry about that career that you're putting in the media spotlight.
That's the other thing, because the referees up in Sweden aren't professional, are they? So it's
certainly
again,
not.
That brings its own problems. Yeah.
Well, he also serves as a lieutenant in the Swedish army.
There you go.
So he's off.
I wonder
off.
What type of person he is.
Before we go to highlights of the week, we're going to go to Colombia. This is strange. Donald Trump has been involved in a bid of $100 million to buy Atletico Nacional.
Stuff on right now.
Let me say that again, Jim. He's been involved in a bid of $100 million to buy Atletico Nacional. Very strange. He's teamed up with Italian Alessandro Proto, who claims to be the inspiration for the character Christian Grey in Fifty Shades of Grey. Peas in a pod.
I think you found that was actually me, so...
I've no doubt.
Oh, you're the inspiration for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
His hair.
Well, yeah. Well, the Colombian club rejected that and said it'll cost you $150 million. And they went, well, we're going to look at other clubs then.
I mean, why is Trump doing this now in the middle of his presidential bid?
It's almost like he's a massive self-publicist. Mm.
Well, Proto's sold his house for $18.5 million in the Trump Tower to Cristiano Ronaldo this week.
Oh, is that who sold it to?
Midtown.
Just to link that up nicely, Cristiano Ronaldo has also just voted by DoSomething.org, which is a young people's charity. Mm. He was voted the most charitable athlete in the world.
He was. Yeah. Was indeed. Mm. And now it's time for Highlights of the Week with Luke Moore.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Luke Moore.
I've got some here. I mean, I don't know if you guys wanted to talk about the bread puns from last week, because I let myself down.
You did.
I couldn't think of any at all. And I don't know if I want to do them, because I think it's a bit passé.
Why
now.
Are you talking about it then? Well, yeah. It's your decision.
Make a decision.
I'm giving you guys the opportunity to weigh in.
To make a decision.
We don't want to. It's your decision.
Although I am...
Steve Scone.
Although I am...
Carry on.
Redeemed.
Although I am excellent at puns, I find them tiresome, so no puns.
Okay,
I'm voting for no puns.
I'm moving on then. I'm moving on.
You got one. Well, give the credit to whoever said that.
Well, Steve Scone. I don't know.
Okay, all right.
I can't remember. If you did, then tweet me and I'll give you the credit. I can't remember. Andy Malone's been in touch.
As a right.
Andy Moscone's been in touch. says, I had a weekend in Leeds booked up, so I didn't get to see my team play. Ended up getting locked out of my hotel, punched by a pair of homeless people. Still, it's better to go and see Sunderland play.
A pair of homeless people.
That's the highlight. That's how bad Sunderland are. The highlight of his week is
at the same time.
And Stuart's been in touch as well.
Stewie.
At Stuart the Kid, he says, my 10-year-old son described Sean Dyche as looking like a Scotch egg.
It's quite good. Very textured. Yeah. He'd look good in breadcrumbs. Mm.
And another highlight of the week, I've actually got rid of quite a few because I wanted to get this one in.
Oh.
Have you heard about this? The police being called to a mass brawl between a group of Morris dancers and a blind football team.
I thought that was bollocks, surely.
No, apparently it did actually happen. Okay. And I've got the story in front of me. I won't read the whole thing, but it just says police were called to it after a mass brawl broke out. The footballers were enjoying a match on the village green at Rattlesden, this Stowe Market, which sounds very, very nice, very picturesque. Mm. But all hell broke loose when the Morris dancers start performing at a nearby pub. Essentially, what's happened is the ball's gone off the pitch in the general vicinity of the Morris dancers. And the blind footballers have got confused. Yeah. And this is a great quote.
Go on.
This is one of the blind footballers. He promptly kicked one of the dancers in the shin, sending him flying over a table and crashing into a flower pot.
Wow.
A hanging basket then fell on his head. I love that detail.
I guess if you're a Morris dancer, you must spend your whole life expecting that sort of thing. It's like, we've had this coming, we've got to be ready for this.
They can't even see us and they don't like us.
I'll end with this quote. It said, apparently it was fine at the end, they had a beer afterwards. Said, in fact, they made up and were all enjoying a drink together, although a couple were still being patched up by the landlord's wife.
Very British. Well, actually, is it British? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird, isn't it?
Very English.
Yeah, it's absurd.
The weirdness and the Englishness are very much together on that.
Oh, and there's another. Andy Malone actually also, he gets two mentions because he pointed out to me that Peter Reid meant to write so far so good, like 6 points for Man City this season. But he actually tweeted, so far so good, 6 pints. And it's only funny because it's Peter Reid.
No, that's not a mistake.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe his hotel Wi-Fi cut out and he couldn't correct it.
I heard Peter Reid was staying in Leeds and he punched some bloke who locked himself out of there.
Oh, and I've got one more just from friend of the Ramble, John Hudson, at Kick TV in the US in New York City. He's a Newcastle United fan. he took issue. I think he sort of commented, like, Jesus wept or God, the state of this. Because Newcastle United official Twitter account described their kit, Newcastle's kit, as a peacoat navy and bright plasma.
Wow.
And then they said Swansea in all white.
Speaking of kits, my highlight of the week was the Spanish side at Guijuelo, who are playing in a ham-themed away strip this season. It was launched. I just saw it in the press somewhere.
I mean, from what I've read, that the ham production and stuff is very important to that particular town, isn't it? And that's why they're doing it. I mean, I sort of understand that, but
it's still strange though.
Explain the broccoli-themed one in 2013-14.
I can explain that, Marcus, because it wasn't that the same team. It was La Jolla Loca.
Oh, was it?
They're the Clockwork Broccoli now.
Nice. Wow.
Which, if you're going to give yourself a nickname, that's how to do it.
But the shirt, it's the type of ham where it's going to look like the players have been skinned.
It's like rock DJ video.
Yeah, exactly like that.
They've been flayed.
Yeah. And before we go, a website roundup, Luke.
Yes, from the always excellent Kelly Wells, of course. He says, on the satirical merry-go-round that is the Football Ramble website this week, you'll see Lee Griffiths channeling the spirit of Tamuri Ketsbaya. Mm. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah.
New York City FC's oiled-up approach to publicity. Jose Mourinho's meltdown being compared to Michael Owen's cruciate injury, and of course the weekend highlights, which he does every Monday. And you can find Kelly on at Kelly_Wells, which is WELLES.
Always excellent,
Jim.
Should we talk about Audible? Let's talk about Audible.
Go on then.
You like audiobooks. We've established this because we did this before and you downloaded loads of them. So if you go to audible.co.uk/footballramble, you can download an audiobook for free on us, right? And then you can either stay signed up to Audible and keep getting audiobooks, or you can just cancel your membership straight away and you'll get to keep the audiobook for free and, you know, everyone's happy. So yeah, that is audible.co.uk/footballramble. Get over there now.
Lovely stuff. And remember the Dublin show as well, and the summer special.
Yeah, if you want
to
get in touch with and listen to some live shows that we've done, there are audio recordings of them all on iTunes under albums. So it's just search for the Football Round under albums.
I usually do this after the show, but I might as well do it now if we're all doing plugs about stuff. It's going to be Crystal Palace versus Aston Villa on Absolute Radio. If you're in the UK, you can listen to some live Barclays Premier League commentary.
There we are. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show at thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is at footballramble, and the website where the always excellent Kelly Wells operates is thefootballramble.com, and we're on Instagram and Facebook as well.
Indeed.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Here's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.